And I love that this is a house with a name family in it, Mukai Christian Family. So I pray that if you're new here, that you would find family here. And if you're not new here, that you would deepen the family that you have in this house. This is the roots go deep here. On a complete side note, my daughter just wanted to cheers while we were doing communion. We're still teaching her how communion works. But it's all good. I love that we've got the kids in the house today. If you're a kid in the place, wave. Give us a wave. Yeah, all the big kids can wave too. Hey, kids. Love having the kids here today. I had randomly during the worship, I had the song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I love, love, love that we get to partake in the joy of the Lord. And it's simple, and it's joyful, and the kingdom of God is... It's we got to come like children. So today, children, we acknowledge you. If your child is a bit noisy today in the service, we are not going to judge. There is a room back there if you want to take them, but there's no judgment here. We love having the children in the house. So today, we're going to share a little bit about trees. That's a strange intro. But can we have that first slide up, please? And we're going to share from Psalm 1. But before we jump into Psalm 1, I want to tell you a story. So in March this year, this is the tensions of the kingdom. I just sung about joy, and I'm going to talk to you about something really serious and sad. But Jesus' joy is in all of it. While we were in South Africa, Jen and I were able to fly to South Africa to be with family after my dad passed away suddenly. And my sister, they live in a town called Kapsahoop. Most South Africans here probably don't know where that is because it's a tiny little town, but it's beautiful. It's up in the mountains. There's pine trees everywhere. There's waterfalls and forests and wild horses and all kinds of beautiful things. So I went for a walk almost every morning just to go and process with the Lord, like just talk to God about everything that had happened with my dad and trying to find connection with Jesus in the middle of the sorrow. And the first morning that I went for a walk, I followed the sound of a waterfall. So I was walking down this path and then I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't stop here. I want to show you something more. Just keep leaning in, just follow me. I'm going to meet with you this morning. I'm going to meet you exactly where you're at and what you need. I'll give to you. So I followed the Holy Spirit, and there was this point where the road was getting a bit rocky down to a little ravine, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not very adventurous when it comes to the outdoors. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, come. Come, son. So I went further, and I slashed away a few spiders, which if you know me, that's not my favorite thing in the world. And by the end of it, I got to this beautiful clearing in the forest, and I sat down and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to look right ahead of you. And so if we can have that next slide up, that first picture on the left is what I saw. I sat down, and just before I got there, the word of the day was about a tree planted by the water. So by the time I got down there to that spot on the left, I saw this tree, and I don't know if you can see very clearly, but the roots of this tree is literally going into the waterfall, and it's drinking straight from that stream. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is a picture of the life your dad lived. Your dad was the kind of man who had his roots planted in the water, and he had a life that thrived because of that. And you have an inheritance because of that. And my granddaughter has an inheritance because of my granddaughter. But my grandchildren down the track, you know. has an inheritance because my dad's life was like a tree planted by the waters. And so I got up from that little ravine, went back to the house, and I opened the iPad to journal about what the Lord had just showed me. And I just wanted to have some worship music, and I opened Brooke Ligertwood's new album, and that day a song was released called The Waters, and it's a song based on Psalm 1. So I sat there and I just listened to the lyrics, and it was just echoing Psalm 1. So today we're going to talk about Psalm 1. We're also going to talk about an olive tree, and we're also going to talk about the redwood trees. But first, let's read Psalm 1. Maybe you can read that for us, Jen.
Yes, you've got your Bibles. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers."
Whatever they do prospers. I was just thinking again about that song, I've got the joy in my heart. This scripture talks about that joy. I was able to have the joy of the Lord. I am able to have the joy of the Lord in a very difficult season in my life, but I'm standing here today testifying of the joy of the Lord. I'll dig a little bit deeper into that in a moment, but I want to link a couple of scriptures very quickly, just very briefly. As we were looking through the word for today, we noticed an interesting link. Psalm 1 starts with blessed. Everyone say blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the one. Now, I don't know about you, but immediately when I hear that phrase, blessed is the one, or blessed is the man, I think of Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who, blessed are those who, and it's just a whole list of things. Blessed are you if, blessed are you if, blessed are you. And so I started looking at the link between Psalm 1 and the Beatitudes, and it's very clear. So in Psalm 1, we read that David is talking about the unseen kingdom. He doesn't say it like that, but he's talking about the roots of the tree. We all know the roots is the unseen part of the tree, but he talks about the roots going down to find the living water. And I think this is kind of like a little hint at what Jesus was saying in the Beatitudes. Because then in the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about this upside down kingdom that you can't enter unless you're like a child. This upside down kingdom that isn't in the seen realm. It isn't with the logic of our world or our way of thinking naturally, but it's a supernatural, unseen, kind of like roots under the ground kind of kingdom that we can only access if we begin to search out for the living water. And so Jesus talks about this unseen kingdom. And very interesting, in the very middle of the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this thing. Actually, before I say that, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about a fruit of a tree. He says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruit, you will recognize them." So there's that connection again between the Sermon on the Mount and Psalm 1, a life of fruitfulness and a life that's recognized by the fruit. And so the other thing I wanted to say about in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, there Jesus says this thing, he goes, "But you are to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect." And it's a bit like, oh, perfection, Jesus? Like you want us to be perfect? So interesting, that word perfect is the Greek word teleos. Everyone say teleos. Thank you for participating today. Teleos is kind of the key word here that we're going to unpack today. And if we can have the slide up. Yeah, there it is. Wow. Thank you, AV. Strong's Bible Concordance describes the word teleos like this. Clusters around, the word teleos clusters around the idea of completeness, brought to its intended goal. It speaks less of flawlessness and more of wholeness that results when God's purpose is fully realized in a person, in an act, or in an era. Isn't that a very different picture of perfection than what we have? This is the kingdom version of perfection. And so when we read this scripture that Jesus says, you are to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, he's saying, I am calling you to wholeness and I am calling you to fruitfulness. And Jesus gives us the keys and the patterns and the basically the map for how to be a tree that is planted by the waters that bears fruit in and out of season. And so that's our prayer today as we share, is that that there be fruit in our lives as we come around the Word. Because the Word never returns void. If we let it land, it will never return void. So if we can go back to that previous picture real quick. And in the previous picture, you would have seen a little... One more. That's the one. Thank you. There's a little picture that Zara drew. So Jen, you can share a little bit about that and we'll talk about that.
So, I mean, it's one thing to say we want to be fruitful and God's calling us to a space of wholeness. But what about seasons where we are feeling like we are in such a barren wilderness? Has anyone felt like or are walking in a barren wilderness type season? No one. Great. Oh, there's a couple of hands. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Peter.
Great. We're all real here. Sweet. We can be real. Well, I was actually walking through. So at Bethel, they've got this beautiful prayer garden. And look, your girl, I don't have a green thumb in me whatsoever, but I was admiring all of the beautiful well-kept gardens. And I noticed this stunning olive tree. And I also don't do this. I ran my hands through the leaves of this beautiful olive tree. And I was like, I just love olive trees. Does anyone like love olive trees? We don't get them here. Well, they're not common up in North Queensland, but they're just so beautiful. And it was so, I don't know, I just felt like, I don't know why I did that. I'm like kind of caught myself going, that was very weird of me. It's like, you know, running my hands through the reeds. I'm not that girl. Anyway, I came home and Zara came home. Well, we picked Zara up from school and she gives me this drawing and she says, you have an olive tree of peace growing in your heart. And I was like, her teacher just, you know, this is part of just the beautiful gift of what we've been able to see Zara grow in is just her sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. And she just drew this and then her teacher said, okay, you're going to write, this is for your mum. And so she drew this and came home and I was like, Zara, and I told her the story and she's like, yeah, I know. Like, I know. I was like, well, that's really profound. She's like, yeah, I know. And so I began to kind of do a little bit of a study around olive trees and I didn't realize olive trees can take upwards of 7 to 10 years to produce fruit. And I was like, hallelujah, it's growing. Like, Jesus, I thought you've got something maturing in my heart. But nevertheless, it was like, I felt the Lord was speaking to me about that, in that, okay, olive trees, they can take a long time to produce fruit, but when they start, when they're fully matured, they can last for thousands of years. And
Can we just pause? Over 1,000
yes.
years. That's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. I love Christine Kane, and she actually has released a book recently called The Faith to Flourish. And I read that, and her whole book is around olive trees. And she's Greek, so she loves olives, and she's all about olives. And so the whole book, she unpacks this beautiful symbolism and life lessons that God was revealing to her around olives. And one of them is about olives. They take a long time to produce fruit, but when they do, they can actually survive in very difficult situations and circumstances, and they can yield fruit for thousands of years. And so if you're taking notes today, I thought one thought that we had, another aspect of what it means to mature and grow in the Lord, is that growth must happen at the speed of peace. Growth must happen at the speed of peace. I would love to be able to say to you guys, I mean, some of you, I think what I love about our church family is I've grown up with mums and dads here who are still here in this church, and they've loved and served the Lord for so many decades of their life. And I feel like that is a beautiful testament of people who have not been, oh, I'm in a dry, barren season, I better uproot myself, I'm going to move on. It's like they've stayed planted and remained, even in barren wilderness seasons, trusting and believing that I'm blessed when I find my root system, not in earthly root systems, but in God's kingdom. I will bear fruit in all seasons. And I also just want to honor people, you know, you're sitting in this room who've just faithfully served the Lord. You faithfully prayed for your family. You faithfully stayed and interceded and just hung in there. And you've kept your love on. You've kept forgiving. You've kept living and walking in the truth of the Word of God, even when you face persecution, even when you face judgment. It's like these are the things that doesn't happen. Like maturity and wholeness doesn't happen like that. It grows at the speed of peace. And that was really interesting when I was thinking of Isaiah 28:16. The NLV says, anyone who puts his trust in him will not be afraid of what will happen. But I thought it was interesting in the English Standard Version, it says, whoever believes will not be in haste. And so I began to study that. And that will not be in haste was connected to the Israelites' journey in the desert, their wilderness season, and how so many times the Israelites, even beyond Egypt, they always wanted to like grab at the next thing. They wanted to make progress happen. Like, I don't want to go through the process, Lord. I just want you to give me my thing when I want it, how I want it. And so if you've read the story of the Israelites, so many times, time and time again, the Israelites, rather than just trusting God to be their, like to let the Lord be their root system, they'd grab at agreements and they'd make agreements with these pagan nations who put them in bondage. They would reach for idols that, you know, the idols didn't deliver them from slavery. The Lord did that, but it's just like the human nature and the wrestle they had. They wanted breakthrough to happen tomorrow. Has anyone else felt like that? God,
yes.
I said my prayer. Now do it. Like, God, I've felt like I've been praying for this for years, but it's like something that I know that the journey that God's had us on is oftentimes maturity and wholeness. It comes at the speed of walking in peace, not in haste. God, he says in his word, those who put their hope, they put their hope in the Lord, they won't be in haste. Isn't that a crazy thought that you could be in a season of total barren wilderness and be carrying peace?
Yeah, it's interesting. We noticed a pattern here with agreement. So the Israelites made agreements with the different nations, and that's what caused, they did it in anxiety. They were like, oh, we better cover, we better find a way to protect ourselves. We better find a way to save ourselves from an impending problem. And that's the anxious part. And so the Israelites made agreements with these nations. And so for us, the interesting thing that we've noticed the Lord highlight to us is sometimes our peace depends on the agreements we make. If you want to move at the speed or grow at the speed of peace, you're going to have to come into agreement with the Prince of Peace. And there's a process of shifting our agreements. Now, if we think of a tree, we talked about the roots being below the ground. Our agreements, the things that we believe deep down in us, are like the root systems. Those are like the things that are digging deep that can't be seen, but it actually influences everything. It influences whether we have fruit in our life. So if I have a belief system about something, that belief system will eventually begin to impact my thoughts and my feelings, and that will eventually lead into my actions. So I'll begin to create a reality around me based on that underground belief system, that root, the root belief system. So the Lord is forever challenging our belief systems. He's not into behavior management. We grow up in a culture and in an education system and in a world where it's all about the externals. It's all about trying to buy some fake lemons and put it on the tree, like attach something to your life to make it look a certain way. And if you don't have the fruit that's naturally coming forth from your life, find a way to fake it. But that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is like, rather look barren, but dig deep until the fruit shows up. Rather, let the Lord deal with the behavior by dealing with the belief system than trying to change our behaviors on the outside. Because I don't know about you, but I have tried to change my behaviors and I failed. We will fail because our behavior is just, it's just a symptom. The choices we make is just a symptom of the belief systems that we have that's under the ground. So sometimes the Lord is revealing to us that there's roots that are actually not digging towards the living water, but there's roots that have actually been like agreements with the accuser. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. The enemy accuses us. Now, sometimes we can do his work for him. We carry that voice of accusation towards ourselves. Tozer says this, what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. What you believe about God is the most important thing about you. So sometimes we can have a belief about God, but it's not actually who he is. Just because it feels like that's who God is, just because it looks to the natural eye like that's who God is, just because someone said that's who God is, that doesn't mean that's actually who he is. And so there's a difference between something being true and the truth. And when it comes to the root systems of our heart and the belief systems we carry, we have to go on the journey of letting the Lord reveal the difference. It could be true that today you are facing an impossibility. But what is the truth about who God is in that impossibility? It could be true that you have a financial hardship, like a wall of impossibility right now in front of you. And that is the truth. You're not denying that truth. But is it the truth in Christ Jesus? Because before you had Christ in your heart, that truth would rule your heart. That truth, that reality, that impossibility, that challenge, it's the most powerful thing in you. It's the most powerful thing you could face. There's nothing else that you can do about it. But in Christ Jesus, there's a new reality and a new truth and a new living water we get to drink from and a new truth we get to stand upon and build upon and dig in upon and say, I ain't moving. I know this is the reality, but my Christ is bigger. And in Christ, I am something different. I'm not rooted in the reality of this world. I'm rooted in a heavenly reality. And it's almost like our tree is flipped. Like we actually have our root system in heaven and we are bearing fruit towards the earth. If you want to think about that scripture in Colossians that says, we are seated in Christ with heavenly places. Your greatest reality isn't the seen realm. Your greatest reality is who you are in Christ in the heavenly realm, what he has made available for you today. And sometimes we stop short. We go, I don't see it. I don't feel it. It can't be real. But the Lord is inviting all of us today to go, Lord, what do you have? What is available for us today? What have you positioned us in Christ to carry, to know, to bear fruit in? It's an incredible opportunity and an invitation that we have. What we believe about God is the most important thing about us. And so I want to say this one more thing as well. There's a difference between God disappointing us and God failing us. He won't fail us. That he promised. He won't fail us. But he will disappoint us. Let me clarify. Sometimes our belief systems about God is rooted in a lie. And he's a version of a father that you've based on maybe your experience with your earthly father. And God's like, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not like that. I am me. And you have to come to get to know me as me. And there's no other way for us to grow in intimacy with God and grow in understanding of God other than face to face. And in that process, he will expose in us lies and belief systems that are actually in the way. Root systems that will bear fruit that's not good, or it won't bear fruit at all, actually. And his process of teleos with us, his process of maturing with us, is actually the journey of allowing him to expose those lies and expose those accusations and expose those beliefs about him that is in opposition to who he is.
I think something that Australian culture that we have to guard our hearts against is that we are such a, and we notice this, I suppose, going to America, being in an international school, is we were confronted with the Commonwealth's obsession with independence. We have to confront that. We are proud people. We don't look proud on the outside necessarily, but it comes up when it comes to things like this. If God reveals himself as our Father and he wants to father us his way, which is the truth, I'm going to be real. That got exposed in my heart. But God, I want you to show up in my life this way. And the Lord's like, well, good luck with that, because that's going to lead to striving. It's going to lead to disappointment. But if you root yourself in my truth, who I am as your Father, you'll find that it will probably look hard on the outside, but it's transforming you, because I love you too much so that you don't stay unfruitful. Does that make sense? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think of that that part in Psalm 1 that says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, who does not stand in the way of sinners, and he does not sit in the company of mockers. There's a deliberate, like, does not, like cutting off, like breaking partnership with. And if we are to step into the fullness of what God has made available for us, we have to break partnership with culture and come into alignment with kingdom culture. We have to break partnership with personality and come into alignment with who we are in Christ. We have to break partnership with the past and come into alignment with the cross and what the cross says about our past and what the cross says about our future, because it's a very different narrative. And we are constantly building a narrative of who we are, and what we feed ourselves is constantly going to inform and disciple and shape us, unless we actively, daily say, Lord, I bring myself to you. I belong to you. Reveal who you are. Let me see you rightly. Let me drink from your river only. Let my root system dig deeper to find you.
I think we can invite the worship team to come up.
Yeah. Just a month ago, we went to the Redwoods for the first time. And that's that third picture, if we can go to that slide with the three pictures. Can you see how tiny Zara is in comparison to those trees? It was legit one of the most magical experiences of my life. Jen and I, we were driving home that day, and it was like, this felt otherworldly. Like the sunlight was breaking through these trees and the mist, and these trees would be taller than this roof, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Much taller. Yeah. Like I would say almost even double the height of Powerhouse at times.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe, hard to capture on camera. If you've been there, you will understand. It's unfathomably beautiful. And there was something about the glory of God being revealed in that moment for us. And when I think about this journey of like becoming a tree that's mature, when I think of this journey of teleos, where the Lord's like, I'm taking you through difficult things. I'm exposing things in your root system. I'm showing you all the areas where you've misplaced your trust. Sometimes you can feel like, oh Lord, like, is this unto anything? But then I stand in this forest of trees and the Lord says, look. Look what it looks like when those trees are over 2,000 years old, when trees have stood the test of time, when trees have dug their roots deep. There's something quite interesting about the redwoods, and that is if one of the redwoods get chopped up, the root system produces another redwood. So it's actually not just one tree, one tree, one tree, one tree. It's like this is actually like, it's almost like multiple. It's almost like one organism creating multiple shoots. And again, that was a picture of what happens when we trust the Lord and let Him mature us, even if circumstances shift things, or even if what looks like on the outside feels like a tree that's been chopped. There's generational deposits. That one tree might get chopped. It's lived, say, 1,000 years. It gets chopped down or it breaks or something. But then the next generation of trees come forth from the DNA of that tree. So if that tree's DNA is healthy, there's going to be another 1,000 years of that tree living on. And I think it's such a picture of the kingdom that God has called us to produce fruit that extends beyond our life. This is why the kingdom is a family. This is why God calls us into the family of God, because it's generational. God has called us to bear fruit that goes beyond the here and now. And it can only happen in the process of teleos. If we uproot ourselves, if we pull ourselves up from the process that God has, we cut ourselves short, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation. But if we allow the work of the Lord, as difficult as it might be sometimes, to produce a joy in us, not only do we have joy, but there's a glory revealed. There's a beauty revealed, like these trees. It reveals something about the weight and the nature and the glory of God. And I'm so moved by the idea that God would want to make us His holy dwelling place, that He wants to make the foundations of our lives so strong that the weight of His glory can rest upon us without cracking us or breaking us. It's the most kindest, most loving thing He can do, to expose the faults, to take us through the journey so that we can learn to be ones that can carry the weight of His glory, that can display His glory to the nations.
It's hit very close to home, obviously. You heard Jack shared about his dad passing away very suddenly. But I want to share just this story before we close about, I've seen, as you know, I feel so blessed to be a daughter in love to my in-laws. And I've seen firsthand when people choose to be rooted in Christ, to let Him do His work in all seasons. So before Jack's dad passed away back in 2005, Jack's brother, he tragically passed away on their sister's property. It was very traumatic. And his parents, Jack's parents, they felt the Lord prior to Jack's brother Peter passing away. The Lord had called them to go and minister in South Sudan. They got the news that Peter had tragically passed away. And despite all of that, they were like, but the Lord's called us and we don't know why. People are like, no, you need to stay and you need to mourn. And they said, we are mourning, but the Lord's called us to go. So they went to South Sudan. And if you are familiar with anything to do with that type of nation, the Lord, in His kindness and sovereignty, He placed Mar and Pa there. They thought that they would be there to minister, but it was actually the people ministering to them, because they knew of all of the nations what a war-torn, like experienced death of sons and daughters, and they were able to minister to Mar and Pa. And so even in that was a beautiful testimony of like, God, how can you send us while we are still bleeding out almost? How can we trust you? And yet they saw God's sovereignty in that. But I asked Louise, Jack's sister, years later, I said, Louise, how did you stay with the Lord when you saw your brother die? Like, you, it was so traumatic. How were you able to continue walking the path of faith? And she said the first Sunday after Peter's funeral, his memorial service, she said she saw people worshiping God, and she was filled with so much anger towards God. She said, God, how could these people worship you when you took away my brother? How could you do that? She began to pick up her belongings. She turned down to walk out of the church, and she saw Jesus standing in the aisleway, His arms outstretched. And He said, I know you're angry, but you can hurl all of your anger onto me. I can take it. And she just collapsed on the floor. And she just said that moment, she saw a part of God's nature, Jesus's nature, that she would have never have experienced had she not just bought her anger and frustration. She said, that day, Jesus met me when I needed him most. And then fast forward to just recently, we're in South Africa. My mother-in-law, she's one of the most incredible women I've ever had the privilege of knowing. She not obviously lost a son, but now her best friend, her ministry partner, her beloved husband, like. And yet at Pa's memorial, she was so full of the Holy Spirit. I feel like she just prophesied. She said at Pa's memorial, I know right now I'm hurting, but she said, I know I'm going to testify that my grief will turn into gratitude. I was like, God trusts this woman. It's amazing. And then Easter Sunday came along and we were all ministering together as a family. And here we are standing in the contradiction, loving the Lord, knowing he's a faithful God, knowing he heals, knowing he can raise the dead, knowing he can heal the sick. We've seen that. We've seen crazy miracles. And yet we're in this tension of, but we've lost our father. We've lost a dad. We've lost a loved one. But we're singing about Christ on Easter Sunday being our living hope. Guys, this is just being real. This is the tension of faith. And we're singing living hope. There's a line in the song, living hope. Death has lost its grip on me. Which is this line that we like, we were just singing it. We're like, yes, Lord. And then little did we know, the church service that we're a part of, Jack's sister and her husband, they actually lead this congregation. A woman, she just raised her hand in the service. She said, can I just testify of something? It's a small church. And so she said, you know, 5 years ago, we lost our father. My husband lost his dad and it tore our family apart. The fact that we are all still together is a miracle. But she said, when you sung today, death has lost its grip on me. And after everything you've walked through as a family, you could still sing that. She goes, I could see death has no grip on your family. I could see it. There is no death and it has no grip on any of your family. I can see it. And I just want to thank you that you chose to worship the Lord in such a season of hardship.
Our life story may most likely have nothing to do with our strengths or our gifts. It will most likely be birthed in the area where we have paid the greatest price to know him. It's everything that's underneath the multicolored coat he's placed on us. That coat will be handed in at the end of the day. And we'll bring to heaven everything he has formed in us. The joy that he has produced in us. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 says, for our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's close our eyes. I invite you to stand. Jesus, we fix our eyes on the unseen, on the root systems, on the river that's under the ground, out of sight, that you are calling us to dig towards, to extend towards, to discover. Thank you for the invitation today from your word that we get to have the living water. Lord, today we give disappointments to you, and we thank you that even in disappointments you are revealed, because you will never fail us. Thank you, Lord, that today we give our self-protection to you. Those agreements that we have made to protect ourselves, and in exchange we take what you have, your armor, your protection, and we choose to move at the speed of peace. We choose to have a life that bears fruit for generations rather than a self-gratifying quick fix. Lord, if there's areas of our lives that need to be exposed for long-term fruit, we invite you to come and expose those areas so we can be a sure foundation for the future generations. So we can bear fruit that lasts in and out of season. So maybe today you're grappling with something in your own heart. Maybe there's an area where you're like, Lord, this feels real. It feels more real than you feel. I invite you to come to the altar and just ask Him, Lord, what do you have for me in exchange? What is the truth? What is my truth that I need to give to you, and what is the truth I need to receive so that I can bear fruit? Maybe today you have lost hope, and we talked about hope earlier. Maybe it's felt like you've been digging and digging, and you're like, Lord, I don't seem to find living water right now. And maybe this is just your opportunity that the Lord is setting the table for you to bring that disappointment to Him. Because if we don't bring it to Him, other voices will try to fill that void and try to speak into that disappointment. Yeah, and if there's any agreements that you have made that you need to come and put out the altar this morning, I invite you to come to the front and just give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I come into agreement with who you say I am. I come into agreement with your truth. I come into agreement with your living water. I come into agreement with who you say my future, what you say my future is. I come into agreement with the joy that you are producing. I come into agreement with the glory that you want to reveal in and through my life. So yeah, I invite you guys just to come to the front. And while people are coming to the front, for those of you that are that are on your way, making your way out, I want to release you with the blessing of the Lord, and I want to encourage you to dialogue with the Lord this week and ask Him to show you your root system. And for those of you that are coming to the front, I invite you just to worship. Some of you might want to hang around and just worship the Lord in this time. Beck and Pilly are going to just lead us in a song. And Jen and I and the ministry team are happy to pray with people right now. So if you need some prayer, feel free to come to the front.